John 17. And Brother Danny quoted this and read this to us and preached this to us. But I love this point right here. It says, and John 17, God the Son is talking to God the Father. In the second verse he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. First of all, why did God the Father give God the Son power over all flesh? It tells you right here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. What does that mean? When somebody says you can refuse the gift of eternal life, or you can keep God from saving you, right here it says, God the Father gave me power over all flesh, so there will be no refusal. Does that not make sense? Isn't that beautiful? And then it tells you what eternal life is. Brother, I love the way you put that consciousness of God in there. That Lord bless you with that. That was beautiful. But look what it says here. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I'm going to tell you this, whenever you receive eternal life, you may not know Jesus Christ's name, but you know him. You understand? You may not know, ever even heard the word Jehovah, but you know God. You know why? Because he is in you. And he is moving you and he is leading you. I mean, he is inside of you. And this is what I love. I love it when I find simple verses that defend our doctrine so well. Look, it just said here that eternal life is knowing God. Not knowing about God, but knowing God, right? And the Bible teaches us that he performs that introduction. You know, the Bible teaches us, we can't say that when the Lord met us, but I can tell you when I met the Lord, whenever he introduced me to him. But look what it says over here in the, because it says in John 17 and 3, it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, to know God in your very being. And then go with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 2, because this is exactly what you and I believe. Because over in Hebrews 8, which has been quoted this weekend, and I love Hebrews 8, the Lord says, they shall not teach every man their neighbor and every man their brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Because he says, I will put my laws in their heart and write them in their minds, right? Isn't that what we believe? The way that you meet God is, it isn't through a preacher, but it's through God doing it himself. We believe that, right? And we believe that a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or the mama and daddy cannot teach their children to know God, but they can teach their children about God, right? Don't we believe that? Look what it says over in 1 Samuel chapter 2. I remember the first time I read this years ago. Look what it says, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now Eli was a priest of God, and his sons were priests of God. Let me tell you something. If anybody's children, if anybody in the Jewish community knew about God, it's the sons of a priest. Amen? If anybody knew about God, it's a priest. Eli's sons were priests. And look what it says. Look what the Bible says about the sons of Eli in the 12th verse of 1 Samuel 2. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. I'm going to tell you, their daddy was a priest. They were priests. They served in the temple of the Lord. They knew everything there was to know about Jehovah. They just didn't know Jehovah. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, that's what you and I believe. You can teach somebody all day about God, but if God ain't in their heart, they ain't going to know God. All right, if you have your Bibles with you, let's go to Acts chapter 4. Very apprehensive about going here. This is all I got. And I don't... You, you pray for us. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start off in verse 18, but I'm going to set you up what's happened here. Over in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John heal this impotent man, Brother Chris. They heal this impotent man, this powerless man who had been laying there for alms, and they heal him, and he jumps up whenever he's healed, and he starts praising, celebrating God. Yay. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord does something good in your life, celebrate him about it. Let people know about it. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord healed him of his infirmity, and he was praising and celebrating God. And everybody seen it, and they seen that this was the man that had been laying there, and then Peter gets him an audience, and he preaches the word of God, and 5,000 people are converted to Christ in a knowledgeable way, right there, in a knowledgeable way. 5,000 believers right there. Isn't that amazing? And then the Jews see it, and they're like, oh no, what's going to happen to our Jewishism? They're going after Jesus. We ain't going to have no money no more. They're going to give it all to them. And they're like, we got to stop this. And so they put them in jail. And while they're putting them in jail, Peter's like, y'all kill Jesus. I'm like, Peter, shh. I mean, if I was John, I'm like, Peter, will you ever be quiet? I was getting us in trouble. And then when they bring them back before them, they're like, hey, don't be doing this. And Peter's like, y'all kill Jesus. And I was like, you go, Peter. I'm going to tell you, you know what Peter did? Peter repented, Brother Adam. I'm going to tell you, have you ever been smote in your heart? Have you ever denied the Lord? Has the Lord ever told you don't do this anymore? And you say, I'm not going to do it. And then you do it. And you just feel horrible. And you're just like, Lord, just give me one more chance. I'll just make it better. And you just run all the way to the other side. That's what Peter did. I'm going to tell you the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before they see the Lord resurrected, right before the Lord is crucified, you've got Peter denying the Lord, and the Lord looks at him, and he gets convicted, and he goes out, and he weeps bitterly. I'm going to tell you, if you deny the Lord, and you're a child of God, you ain't going to go to hell for it, but I'm going to tell you what, you're going to weep bitterly. You ain't going to have joy and comfort in this world. You're going to have bitterness and sorrow. But I'm going to tell you, Peter said, I don't want to feel like that no more. I'm going to tell you, whenever you get convicted of your sins, we need to say, Lord, I don't want to feel like that no more. And go to the other side. I see it, bro. Okay. I was told I got a box. They were like, Brother Danny, you are not on the screen on Facebook. And I was told, no more laying hands on folks. But here in the 18th verse, look what it says here. Of Acts chapter 4. And they called Peter and John, and they called them, they being the Jews here, the Pharisees and scribes, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. I'm loving me some Apostle Peter right here. Look what Peter says. I love this. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. You make that decision for yourself, whether you should obey you or God, you judge that. But look what the 20th verse says. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm going to tell you, Peter's like, you threaten us all you want to, but all I can do is speak the things that I have seen and I have heard. I fished all night one night. All night. I washed my nets, I put them up, and the Son of God said fish on that side, and we couldn't even bring all the fish in the boat. spikes through his hands. I seen him put a spear through his side. And I left him when I said I never would. And I seen him come up out of the grave. And I heard an angel that said to me, even though you departed from me, Peter, you go and tell the disciples, my brethren, and Peter. Even though I left him, he has not left me. We cannot but speak the things. I'm going to tell you, Peter said, I've seen some things in this world. I've seen some powerful things, and I can't but speak. What have you seen? What have you seen? This is why I want you to pray for us, because I feel led to relay my experience a little bit, and my experience ain't about me, it's about the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, I cannot but speak the things that I've seen and heard. Go with me over to Titus chapter 3. Look what it says here. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, but to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. He's telling the gospel preacher Titus, he's saying, you, whenever you preach to your congregation, whenever you preach to the people you serve, you put them in mind to do good works. And then the third verse, he tells them why. He says, you tell them to do good works because of this. Because we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. I mean, does this look like, in the third verse, does this look like somebody seeking Jesus? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, not just lust, but divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. There was nothing there about seeking after God. And then it says this in the fourth verse, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. Look, you tell them to do good works because there was a time that you didn't have no goodness within you, but God still showed his kindness and love and goodness towards you. And look what it says here. The kindness and goodness and the love of God was showed towards us in the fifth verse. I wish I could put this on a billboard, Brother Chris. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Isn't that beautiful? Not by works of righteousness. You know why that's beautiful? Before you're born again, you can't do a work of righteousness. So if it's by a work of righteousness, ain't nobody ever getting born again. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. He says, you tell them to do good works, because there was a time when you had no goodness within you and you could not do good works, and the Lord did the best work. He put his spirit within you and you became alive in Christ Jesus. I was thinking while you were preaching, dear brother, not only is God within us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It said, if the spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, that's God, he shall by that spirit also quicken your body. So if the spirit of God dwell in you, over in Colossians 1, it said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And right here, it just says that the Holy Ghost entered you. We got the Trinity living within. Isn't that beautiful? But I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, I cannot but speak the things which I have seen and heard. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm a little Rahab. Oh,
I hated them. The music I listened to yesterday, it repulsed me. The sun finally looked beautiful because I was able to see the creation of a creator. For the first time in my life, I was able to be let believe in a creator. I'm saying I hated myself. And I would pray to a God that I didn't know his name. Whenever I left New Orleans and left my old job, one of my old friends back there said, "Why are you leaving? What's going on?" I said, "I met God." I said that. I never read the Bible. I said, "I met God. And I got to seek after him." And he said, "Well, who is he?" He said, "Is he Buddha?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Is he Allah?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Is he Jesus?" I said, "I don't know." But I'm going to tell you, there came a time when I was reading the Word of God, and the Lord let me know. There came a time whenever I heard the gospel preached, and the Lord let me know. Because up until I believed the gospel, brothers and sisters, every day whenever I woke up, you know what I tried to do? I tried to be perfect. And whenever I lay my head down on the pillow, you know what? I realized I was not perfect. And I firmly believed that if I died that night, I was going to go to hell. I want to say, I understand what Paul means whenever he says, "Brethren, it's my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness." That was me, Brother Adam. It was me. I didn't understand how righteous God was. I thought I could do something to earn my way into heaven. I thought I could do something to make myself righteous enough to be in the presence of God in eternal glory. But I'm going to tell you what, every time I tried to do it, I came up hopeless. I came up in despair, and I was resigned to the fact that I'm going to hell. Because I just couldn't get it done. I'm going to tell you, that came a day whenever I come to the Old Baptist Church and I heard the gospel preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And the day that I believed that Jesus Christ died for me, and one day he's coming back to get me, and it's not because of what I did, but because of what he did, and because of his love that he had for me, I'm going to tell you, and the very fact that I felt to be a sinner was an evidence that I was one of his. I'm going to tell you what, I have not been trying to establish my righteousness ever since that day. Amen. You say, "Brother Danny, you ain't been trying to be good." So no, I try to be good. I want to be good. I want to be the best old sinner I can be. I do. I want to be the best preacher I can be. I don't want to be better than him. Don't want to be better than him. Don't want to be better than him. I want to be faithful to my calling. Because we all got different gifts. And I'm going to tell you what, brothers and sisters. There came a burden off of me ever since I believed the gospel that I can't even remember. It was so horrible. I don't want to put it in my memory. It was so bad. But I'm going to tell you what. I experienced justification by faith. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Let me tell you, Jesus had already died for me. Amen. He had already born me again. And no matter whether I believed or not, he was still coming back to get me. And Jesus had already made, God had already made peace with me by the blood of Jesus Christ, what the Bible says. God made peace with me by the blood of Christ that purged me of my stains by himself. But I'm going to tell you what, I didn't know about it. God was not mad at me and he turned away anymore. Jesus was going to come back and get me one day, but I didn't know it. And I was still scared in my mind. But whenever I believe the true gospel, I had peace with God. Does that make sense? See, God has peace with us by the blood. But if you think God wants to kill you, you ain't got peace with God. Amen?
when you think God's out to get you, you're in a bad way. And I want to tell you, when you see yourself as a falling, old sinner who can't establish his own righteousness, you know God's after you. But then you hear the gospel, and it tells you he was after you, and he got a hold of you, and he's taking you to heaven one day. I want to tell you also this, brothers and sisters. I cannot but speak. I cannot but speak. The things that I've seen and heard, we take it for granted. Brothers and sisters, church, it ain't an hour and a half event, okay? Church is your life. The gospel, it ain't something you balance your checkbook through, okay? It ain't something you take a nap through. Peter says that whenever we preach these things to you, we preach them with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Do you realize what that means? Brothers and sisters, have y'all felt freedom this weekend? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Do y'all know that? If you felt freedom, if you're able to live in this world and come into this building and feel freedom, let me tell you what, the Lord showed up. And that means that God came down from heaven and he dwelt amongst us just for a little while. I want to tell you, last night when Brother Adam and Brother Ronald was preaching, why didn't everybody in here just shout? Did y'all not feel that? Did you not feel it starting up here with a little tummy ache? And then it bubbled up with that Holy Ghost heartburn? And you know, if you just open your mouth, you're just going to go, woo! But we don't want to be labeled Pentabaptist. So we calm it down. My wife said, I went, woo, and it felt good. Yeah. It does. I'm going to tell you, brothers, we need the Holy Ghost in our life. We need it. And over there where Brother Danny was quoting from over in Luke chapter 11, one of my favorite, and this is the Cliff Notes, okay? This is Saturday afternoon, apple pie, Brother Adam. Brother Adam says, after you've been in a meeting and you done heard over six preachers, just go to the top shelf, get some apple pie, and get some ice cream. You know, we don't need to hear all 5 points of justification. You know? But you go to Luke chapter 11, and right after the Lord gives them the manner of prayer in which they're supposed to pray, he gives them a parable about a man who has a friend come to him in the middle of the night after him and his family is asleep. And the man says, I have a friend who's come, and I ain't got no food. Give me some bread. And the man says, leave me alone. We're going to sleep. Yeah. And then the Lord says, though he will not give him because he's his friend, but because of his importunity. Yeah. Now, me trying to redneck the meaning out of that, I was like, oh, improper opportunity. That's not what it means. Importunity means persistence. And then the Lord says this, knock, and it shall be open. Seek, and ye shall find. And I'm always going to mess these things up, but you'll get the gist. He says, if your son comes to you and asks for a piece of bread, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? If he asks for a fish, are you going to give him a stone? And then look what it says. It says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, get this. Because people will go with, look, native planet people, they'll read all the way up to that and stop right here. They'll say, look, if I want a brand new car, if God be for me, who can be against me? Let me tell you, that's talking about going to heaven. They ain't talking about a new car, okay? And this here, it ain't talking about stuff. Like Brother Adam was talking about, a lot of people, when they their relationship with God, they just want some stuff. I want him. Amen. That's the reward that you and I need is the presence of God.
asking to be born again? No. But where do you think your joy comes from? Where do you think your comfort comes from? Where do you think your peace comes from? And where do you think your spiritual strength comes from? It comes from the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, brothers, since I've seen it to where I was so weak, I felt like I couldn't walk because the world just beat me up. And I begged God. I said, God, I just need some strength. I just need some help. And he sent me some help. I had times where I was 39 years old before I got married. And it'd be so funny. I'd go to a meeting like this and just feel so loved. And by the time I got home, I felt like nobody loved me. And felt like nobody cared about me. And there was times I just felt so depressed because of that. And the Lord would just send the Holy Ghost. And he'd cheer me up. Help me go another extra mile until he brought me my beautiful wife. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I can only speak and tell you about the things which I've heard and seen. There was times where my dad wanted to kick me out of the house because I preached the gospel. My family disowned me because I preached the gospel. And I felt like I didn't have a family. But I witnessed the promise of the Lord where he said, Peter, there's no land that's given up fathers, mothers, sisters, spouses, lands, and houses that will not receive a hundredfold in this life. I'm going to tell you, the best friends I got are here. I've had brethren say, he's under the mat, like Brother Ronald said. And that's amazing to me, because I wasn't brought up from the Baptist. When people came over to our house, my dad went to bed. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't raised up that you could let people in your house. You didn't let people in your house when you were there, much less when you're not there. I'm going to tell you what, brothers, that's powerful. This is the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you, we wouldn't let our kin folks in our house, we'd pat them down when they left. But if Brother Chris called me and said, Brother Danny, Brother so-and-so is from our church, he's traveling through Louisiana, he needs a place to stay. I say, tell him to stop by, we got him covered. Because we have a kingdom, we have a relationship, we have a bond, we have a family that's much more important than natural. We have a heavenly family. Oh, brother says, I can only speak what I've seen and I heard. I only speak what I've seen and I heard. I want to tell you what, I love you. I love the Lord. The Lord's been so good to me. I'm like Brother Ronald. The Lord has been so good to me. And you know what? I've been to funerals where people were so depressed. And the Holy Ghost comes down. And people go on their way rejoicing. I want to tell you what, I can only speak what I've seen and I heard. God has been so good to us. I love you and God bless you.